Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's message is from our first reading from the book of Acts. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Dear friends in Christ, you probably remember the song from, I want to say, the late 60s or early 70s, probably the early 70s. "Signs, signs everywhere, signs clogging up the scenery." I forget their next line. But you know, signs are everywhere, huh? Something about our minds, yes. We always see signs, right? No shoes, no shirt, no service. Don't walk on the grass. Do not disturb. Authorized personnel only. And there are signs that we dislike, right? Speed limit 65. Limit one per customer. Limited time only. We don't like them because they limit us. We want life to be without any boundaries if we can. We want to be free, so we actually dislike anything that really limits us. And then there's those signs that we really long to see, that we're desperate sometimes to see. If a loved one's sick, we're desperately looking for a sign of improvement, a sign that things are going to get better, or that that person is going to get better. People look for signs in their relationships. Does he love me? Does she love me? Should I get more serious in this relationship? Sometimes if we're looking for work, we're looking for a sign as well, aren't we? We're always looking for a direction. We're looking for hope. And what about the signs in our church? For example, how do we know that it's Easter? I mean, think about it. How do we know that it's Easter? Well, one of the big signs, Easter lilies, right? We walk into the church and we smell the Easter lilies. What are some of the other things? Well, we also smell Easter breakfast, right? We see chocolate. Maybe we see plastic eggs being hidden. Or maybe we find some plastic eggs. There's always signs of Easter. You hear the sounds of the choirs singing. And then, of course, there's that greeting that the pastor gives you the first thing on Sunday morning. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. There's the sights of Easter, right? The dresses, the ties, the jackets, all of the things. The hats, the Easter hats. We see all of these things. Maybe we even see people we haven't seen since Christmas. And then, of course, Easter goes. How do we know? Well, all the smells, the sounds, the sights of Easter are gone. Attendance, you know, kind of falls off a little bit. Life returns to something that seems like maybe a little bit of a rut. It seems like it's just the same before Easter as it is after Easter. But wait a second. I mean, let's face it. Is that all there is? Are we really thinking that the effect of Easter has come and gone? That the celebration is over now? Well, not so today. Because God's Word is filled with Easter signs. And today we see them in this woman named Lydia. You see, the conversion of Lydia is actually one of the signs of the power of Christ's resurrection. So let's meet Lydia here for just a second. We read, "And on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods. So we've got some, you know, we've learned a couple things here about Lydia, right? There's a couple of signs that tell us about this woman, Lydia. First, we know that she's from the city of Thyatira. It's a small city in Asia Minor, but it was a commercial center. Especially, it's known for its rich crops and its production of purple dye. Logically enough, then, Lydia was a dealer in purple cloth. Purple cloth was costly, and it usually was bought by the nobility. Now, these are signs that tell us that Lydia was probably a businesswoman and was probably had some wealth. Now, the question is, are these signs of Easter? No, of course not. The color is wrong, right? What color is Easter? It's white. And there's no hint of the resurrection here in the fact that she's a seller of purple dyes. But then the text also says that Lydia was a worshiper of God. Now, worshiper of God is a term that was often used for Gentiles who believed in the Jewish God, in the God of the Old Testament. But even though they believed in God, they were not yet believers in Christ. Now, is this a sign of Easter? No, but we're getting closer. We're getting a little bit closer. Let's continue. The text says, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Now, we don't know exactly what Paul said, but we can be pretty sure that he shared the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It would include whatever we confess in the Apostles' Creed. It'd be a message about Jesus, who died on the cross for her. And it would be the message about his victory over death and the grave on Easter Sunday, giving her the promise, and everybody who believes, the promise of life for everybody who believes in him. And then through God's divine work, she paid attention. Notice it's through the Lord, it says, opened her heart. It's through God's divine work that she pays attention. She heard, her heart was opened. But that's not all. Not only was her heart opened, notice she didn't waste any time getting baptized along with the members of her household. That was surely a sign. In Lydia's baptism, she was then united with Christ, just as you and I were, united in Christ's death and his resurrection. Faith was there. Salvation was hers. But it didn't stop there. Her faith then produced fruit. She actually begged Paul to allow her to host him and the rest of the missionaries in her home. If you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, she said, come to my house and stay. And then the text said, she prevailed upon us. In other words, she got her way. They went and stayed with Lydia. Her new faith simply wouldn't allow her not to express it in hospitality, in works, of kindness. Later on, we actually see that Paul returned to this area, and he stayed with Lydia. Obviously, at that time, she was an active member of the church. What we see in Lydia is just how powerful the message of Easter is, that it actually brings life and salvation to all. We see the signs. Here, we actually see the signs. We see an open heart that hears the Word of God and receives the gifts from that Word. He receives the gifts of baptism to create faith. And then we see evidence of that faith in good works, that hospitality that she offers to Paul and his companions. Notice what happens here, though. God calls. God opens hearts. The Lord creates faith. And the Lord empowers for service. Notice who's doing all the action here. It's the Lord. It's God who's doing it. See, these are actually the signs of Easter, and these marks are the work of the Holy Spirit. Just the way we confess in the Catechism, in the explanation to the third article of the Creed. It's that God is doing this. It says, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in true faith. It's what God does in us and through us and for us. Lydia here was a miracle of God's wondrous love, and she was proof positive that the effects of Easter continue today. They linger on. But let's not stop with Lydia, okay? We too are a sign. You and I are signs. A sign of life. A sign that Easter goes on. Easter lives in our hearts, in our voices, and in our actions. Now, maybe right now you don't feel too much like a sign. Maybe the effect of Easter left you a long time ago. And this, I have to tell you, is the work of Satan himself. He aims to steal our victory. He wants to lead us into despair. If possible, his goal is actually to turn our eyes away from that empty tomb and to turn them in towards ourselves. And our own worldly desires, what we want. So is it any wonder that the church often grows quiet nearly 40 days after the resurrection? Let it not be so. Amen. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Screwtape Letters. And it talked about good works there. Screwtape Letters is, I don't know if you've ever read it before, but it's an upper level demon writing to an apprentice demon about his client, this guy who he's trying to entice away from God, and the Wormwood is the Screwtape is the senior demon, and the junior demon is a guy named Wormwood. And he said, and one of the things of advice, he says, oh no, your client has gone to church, that's okay, let him go to church. Let him sit in the pew being pious. Just don't let him do anything. He can sit there as much as he wants, as long as he doesn't do anything. Don't let him put his faith into action. That's Satan's work. Bring us to despair, to think that Easter is something that happened 2,000 years ago and not something that happens in our lives each and every day as we remember our baptism, as we remember whose we are, that Christ died for you and for me, and he gives us a renewal of life each and every day. Thanks be to God because he is patient and merciful. Christ died and he rose for you and for me. God prepares our hearts through confession and absolution. Forgiveness is received. Hearts are made ready for the proclamation of God's word, and the Holy Spirit works in this word to build faith. It happens each and every Sunday despite Satan's attempt to distract us and to mislead us. But God still works. He works in other means as well, in holy baptism, and in the Lord's Supper. Like Lydia, what happens is our hearts are opened, and through the power of the Spirit, our faith is strengthened. And then too, just like with Lydia, our faith produces fruit. Hands that serve, voices that proclaim, arms that comfort and provide, legs that take us where we need to go. The gospel of Christ crucified and risen has this effect. The victory of the empty grave lives on and on. So clearly there's really no way to silence the effect of Easter. It goes on because Jesus lives. And because he lives, you and I will live also. Jesus lives, and as he lives, well, it's still appropriate to say, Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always.